Well, at this point, we're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to read a chapter together. We're going to read from the Old Testament in Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to read the whole chapter, Ruth and chapter 2, from the beginning. Let's read God's Word. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the woman who worked for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the woman. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. This is God's word to us. Well, let me encourage you to keep the passage to hand open to you as we go through this chapter just for a short time together. Now, George Müller, he was an evangelist from Germany. He lived an extraordinary life. His conversion was dramatic, but he was involved in a ministry when he moved over to the UK. He was involved in preaching, but he was also involved in setting up orphanages. But in both of these ministries, one of the most remarkable things is that he refused to accept a wage. Now, whilst 1 Corinthians chapter 9 argues that those who proclaim the gospel, they should get their living wage from work in ministry, in the same chapter, the Apostle Paul says that preachers are voluntarily able to surrender that right. And so George Müller relied fully on the Lord to provide for him, not only his own personal needs, but in his ministry, in his church, and in the orphanages as had the costs of running it and building. At no time did God fail him. And so what we have here in this story, we meet a man called Boaz, who God uses in actually a very ordinary way to meet the needs of Ruth and Naomi, who we've been introduced to, as God cares for them and blesses them through Boaz. It's this idea of provision and care that I want to look at for a short time. Now, Boaz represents this goodness and kindness of God. And it's the same God that was with Boaz then that oversees every aspect of our lives now, nothing of which is out of his control. I hope that as we look at these three characters, that we see God's provision as he subtly looks after his people, even when we can't actually see it. So we're going to look at God's care, God's provision in this narrative. We're going to use a sort of five P's, makes it nice and simple to remember. We're going to look at the plan, perplexity, protection, provision, and purpose. Plan, perplexity, protection, provision, and purpose. We're going to look at plan first of all. But before we actually get into that, I think it's important that we have a look at the context of where we're at. This is set in the days of Judges, so there's not actually a king in place. And we have Naomi, who is Ruth's mother-in-law. She's widowed, and she's living in a foreign land in Moab. Now, she's aware that the famine has ended, and so she decides to return to her home after losing everything as she saw it. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, goes with her. Now, Ruth has also lost tremendously, but she chooses to leave her own country to go where the people of God are in Bethlehem. And as she returns, this is Naomi, we see that she's very bitter. We see that in the previous chapter. She calls herself Mara. She very much has this perception that she has no hope and no future. And that brings us into chapter 2, where Ruth meets Boaz. And the first thing that we actually see is that God has a plan. God has a plan. If you look with me at verse 3, so she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz. So Ruth so happened to be working in a field that belonged to Boaz, someone who was related to her mother-in-law. Now, we talk about coincidences in life. It might be a car breaks down in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden a mechanic appears and offers some kind of assistance. Or maybe it's on a bus, someone takes unwell and there's some kind of medical professional that happens to be there and is able to offer some kind of assistance. Now, in verse 3, Ruth was meant, wasn't a coincidence, Ruth was meant to be in that field that belonged to Boaz. But equally, Boaz was meant to arrive at the time that he arrived. He could have come at any point. And so Ruth and Naomi, they've come to Bethlehem with nothing. And what we see is, after losing everything, that God had a plan for them. And so, I suppose, if you like, here's the first truth, that nothing catches God out. Nothing catches God out. God had a plan. He had a plan to look after Ruth and Naomi, to give them a hope and a future. We get these very famous words in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And that is exactly what God was doing here, giving them a hope and a future, even in the ups and downs, even through the sorrows, and even through the problems. But I think it's worth noting, it's not just an immediate plan that God had in mind. In fact, God had an eternal plan in mind, a plan to maintain the line that would lead eventually to King David, and eventually, years and years down the line, to King Jesus. And this is the key to the passage. If anything, this is the most important part. But as far as Ruth is concerned, she sees an immediate need in this passage. She sees an immediate need for herself and for her mother-in-law. They need to eat, they need food, they need sustenance for survival. But God sees a greater need, not just for Ruth. He's thinking further down the line. He's seeing a need for humanity. But not only does God lead Ruth to this field which belongs to Boaz, but he equips her, and we'll see that. He equips her to do this. And who is this Ruth? Well, Ruth is a foreigner. She was a woman, a widow. These are things that place her immediately at a disadvantage or a potential disadvantage in that society. She wasn't originally part of God's people. And she had left the gods of her homeland, all that she knew, she left behind, because she came to believe in the God of Israel. And it's so she trusted and followed him, and God equipped her so that she would eventually face a situation where potentially she would be vulnerable. Now it might seem like a risk, but actually, is it not the case that there's no safer place to be than to walk with God? In verse 12, we see God's care for her. We have these words. Boaz says, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." You see, Boaz recognized something different in Ruth. He recognized that she was changed. She was under the protective wings of God. And this was God's plan for Ruth. So this is the plan. Moving on, secondly, to perplexity. So we also see perplexity. Now, Boaz, he's never met this woman before, never met this person. So he's confused, he's perplexed as to why this woman is working in his field. And what does he do? Well, he asks his overseer, likely to be a manager of some sort. But it's a testament to who he is, actually, as a person, that he knew each and every one of his staff. He knew them all. So Ruth stood out to him. And he immediately notices her in verse 5. And what does he find out? Well, he discovers that she's poor, that she's a Moabite. She's not from that country. She's young. She's humble. She's hardworking. She also happens to be the daughter or the daughter-in-law of a relative of his. Now, given his standing, given his position, and contradict that with who Ruth is, it could be a very difficult situation for him. He's got a lot to think about, doesn't he? He was wealthy, he was powerful, he was well respected in his community. There could be a detrimental effect. But what's more striking about his character is that he feared God. He feared God. And that was evident in the way that he would look after and treat his employees. Ruth comes along and she's totally disconnected from the community. See, Moabites, they weren't welcome with the Israelites. They were cast out since the days of Moses in Deuteronomy. But as he questions her, he sees that there's something different. He understands, he's beginning to understand who Ruth is and why she is here. He's been told about her, about how humble she is and how she's serving God and how she's serving her mother-in-law. And he's now seeing it for himself in his own place of work. And it could have been awkward for him, but God, in his plan, God made Boaz notice Ruth. I wonder if you've ever had a strange compulsion, a random thought or desire, maybe it's in the middle of the night, to suddenly think about someone, to pray for someone, to do something good for someone. Could be in the middle of the night, could be during the day, whenever it was. I wonder if you've had that. I know I have. And you don't know why, but you do it. You do something. It's sometimes the way that God works for his people. We don't always understand, but God uses his people to bless others. It's our second truth. Now, you might have heard of Mez McConnell. Mez McConnell founded 20 Schemes. We heard from Chris last week. Merkinch Church is one of those. But they aim to plant churches and schemes around Scotland. Their churches quite often, they don't know how to fill financial shortfalls every month. But they pray and they trust in God to provide for them. And on one occasion, one particular church, they were operating with a £12,000 deficit. Now, the following day, I'm not sure if it was Mez, but a minister was contacted, and without any knowledge, this person gave them the exact amount that they needed of £12,000. And the point is this, that God can work behind the scenes through his people. So we have perplexity. We've got plan, perplexity. And thirdly, we see protection in this passage as well. Protection. Now, as Boaz learns who Ruth is and what she has done, his demeanor towards her changes. He becomes protective. He's a protective figure over her. And this is the protective care that God uses over Ruth through Boaz. Now, Boaz saw her hard work ethic. He saw her humility as she brought herself low and as she begged for employment. And he's in verses 8 and 9, we see that he's actually concerned for her welfare. This is a person he doesn't know. He doesn't know anything about her until recently. This is day one. Remember, she's a foreigner. She doesn't have the same rights as the rest of his staff. She's vulnerable. She's even a target to younger men. You see that there in verses 8 and 9. And so what does Boaz do? He implores her to stay with him. He implores her to stay and work with the woman in his field. He's thinking of her safety. He cares for his staff, you see. He's a good man. He values his people. He values his own flock. There's parallels here. I wonder if you're seeing that with Jesus and the way he cares and loves his flock. See, Boaz cares for them. He protects them. He prays for them. He blesses them even. And he provides for them. He's another character in the long list of God's people who reflect God's caring heart for the vulnerable in this world. And it's wonderful that Scripture gives us this model of a godly man who very practically protects a vulnerable woman from dangers or from potential dangers, even at the hands of his own employees. Now, he's not naive. He's not dismissive. He's not ignorant. But he puts necessary boundaries in place. He puts these protective measures because he's wise, because he sees potential dangers to protect his own people. Now, given the warning that he has given his men, you've no doubt that he would deal with any problem very seriously. That's the integrity of this man. And this is what godly people do. And it's a good thing for us to think about tonight. How this character of Boaz, how does Boaz's character shape the way that you and I, that we care for others, not just in the workplace, but in general. And it's good for the people of God. It's good for us to be diligent and hardworking and creative. It's good for us to be concerned about our colleagues and our employees or our employers. It's good to be concerned for their welfare and for health and safety. It's also good for us to pray for our colleagues, to bless them, and to be generous as well. And I'm not talking simply finances, but in patience and encouragement and in prayer and listening and so on. I wonder if you've ever been blessed by your boss, or maybe you're an employer. Have you ever blessed your staff? It's something to think about. But this Boaz's caring heart notices that Ruth is a good worker. And he actively listens to her. He listens to her story, and he recognizes her godly character. And through all this, we see this seed of protection that God plants in his heart. We see it starting to bear fruit. So that's the protective side. Now, fourthly, we move on to provision. We see Boaz's provision for Ruth. There's a few main obvious points here. The first is Boaz provides Ruth with work. He gives her work, first of all. And then in verse 9, he makes sure that she has enough to drink. And not just enough, but she can have a drink at any point. And then in verse 14, he makes sure that she has enough to eat until she had plenty. And if that wasn't enough, he gives her extra grain in verse 16. Now, this is day one. He looks after her. He gives her food and drink, all that she needs. He gives her a job. And if that wasn't enough, he gives her all the grain that she needs, enough to cover her for her and Naomi for a number of weeks. What kindness God has bestowed on Naomi and Ruth through this Boaz. And what is maybe surprising as well is a man treating a woman so well in that generation, in that era. And Boaz himself, he's got no hidden agenda. He's simply a good man. He's generous and he's kind, and he wants to honor Ruth by giving to her because he is able to. Now, Boaz recognizes that Ruth has treated Naomi with kindness, and he does show her the same. But what we notice in this passage as well is that this provision and kindness that Boaz has given to Ruth is actually extended to Naomi. And all of a sudden we see, as Ruth shares her day with Naomi, that suddenly Naomi's changing. Her heart has changed. She's able to see a bit more clearly now. The state of depression that she had is gone. She's rekindled her love for God. She's seen God working in her life again. She's seeing this through the provision that Boaz has given to her through Ruth. She couldn't see it before, but she sees it now, and she sees it clearly. This is sometimes a picture of how we can be in this life. Sometimes when difficulties happen, maybe it's through death or through illness or broken relationships or difficulties at school or university or whatever it may be. Sometimes it can be hard to see things with clear eyes. We're right in the mix of it. And in our journey in life, there are times where it's really difficult. If where God feels silent, but he promises that he is there. He's still working because he has a plan for each and every one of us. And nothing can thwart these plans. Psalm 33, verse 11 reminds us, "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations." The purposes of his heart through all generations. This is continuing on and on. This is relevant in the good times and in the not so good. So this is the provision that God gives to Ruth and Naomi. But in all this, we see God's purpose. We see God's purpose as well. Now, God provided for Ruth and Naomi despite all the difficulties they faced, despite the loss, and despite the emptiness. He had a plan. But he also, as we mentioned earlier, he also had a greater plan in mind. Through Ruth and Naomi, a child from their line would come and deliver God's people once and for all. And that's, we're not talking just about King David, where the book ends, or where the book highlights the family line from Naomi and Ruth, and that would lead to David. But it's eventually King Jesus, the child from their line, who would deliver his people from their sin. But it's important to note that while God's purpose is eternal, he doesn't stop short to provide for us now, each and every one of his people. There was a point that Naomi could not see anything through her suffering. She was bitter and lost. But what a turn of events we see in verse 20. All of a sudden, God is back in the picture. The Lord bless him, she says. She's awakened. There is hope as God blesses her that she can even speak of God for the first time in a long time. Now, there may be occasions in our lives, there may be occasions where we ask, well, why is God doing this? Or why is this happening? And we're not guaranteed to know the ins and outs. We're not guaranteed to know the why. But he tells us to look to the cross. In God's eternal plan, he knew his son would be punished. He didn't only know they'd be punished. He knew they'd be rejected. He knew that he would be crucified. He didn't just know about it. He permitted it. It was his purpose. He purposed this death. This was his plan, so that you and I would be saved. He knows all about suffering. God knows all about it. So when it seems like things are falling apart in your life, let me encourage you to look to the cross. See what he has done. The cross proves God's heart for you in your suffering and in your sin. It proves God's heart for you in your suffering at the hands of the impact of sin. And through the cross, the answer cries out that God has done something about it. He's done something about sin now, and we can be forgiven and saved from our sin. But through the resurrection, through this resurrection, Jesus from the dead, the first fruit of what is in store for all of God's people, the answer cries out that God will do something. Resurrection where all the suffering will be no more. That is the hope. That is the salvation plan that God has for his people. Provision now and provision to come. And his plans can never be thwarted. Now you may be a Ruth tonight. And you may have taken refuge under the wings of the one who cares and who protects and who provides. There is no safer place than that. This is a protection. It doesn't just last now. It lasts into eternity. And despite what we face now, despite all the grief and the despair and the sickness and the brokenness, the death and resurrection of our King Jesus is the truth that we need to hear. It's the truth that we need to keep going. Now, with Ruth and Naomi, God shows that he hasn't forgotten his people, even in the worst of days. And through the cross, he's shown that he hasn't forgotten his people now. Maybe you need to be a Boaz tonight. Maybe God wants to use you as an instrument of care, to be a blessing, to love others. Like the prophet Samuel, we can be encouraged and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me." But if you haven't rested under the wings of God, if you don't know his care and protection, then let me ask you this. What is this passage saying to you? What does this say to you tonight? Take Ruth's example and see how God feeds those who are hungry, how he fills those who are empty. And I mean that physically and spiritually. Ruth is the example that heaven, that eternity, it's not just for the chosen people of Israel, but it's for outcasts like me and like you. And so he invites you to take refuge in him. And we can take confidence because what Boaz is to Ruth is what Jesus is to his people. So we might not see God's work physically, but be assured that behind the scenes, he is structuring, he's orchestrating behind the scenes. He's directing every aspect of our lives. And we might not see that blessing in this life, but his people are blessed because God has shown his kindness to his people through Jesus. This is the blessing to all nations, enjoying constant provision and protection forever. May we be encouraged tonight to keep a heavenly perspective as we look to God, the one who cares and provides for his people. Amen.